Well, our theme tonight, if you might have noticed from the song that we sang, is simply who is on the Lord's side. If we go over to the book of Exodus, and we want to look at chapter 32, Exodus chapter 32, and we're going to look at verses 25 through 35. Verse 25, now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him, and he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to the entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Wow. Then Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother. Now it came to pass that on the next day that Moses said to the people, have you committed a great sin? You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sins. And then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sins, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now therefore go, lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. So the Lord plagued the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron made. You know, that above statement, who is on the Lord's side, is a powerful remembrance for us all. That was the Israelites who we know worshipped and built a golden calf and worshipped that calf, made it their God. And the question that we all have to ask ourselves is a repetitive question. We have to ask ourselves, am I really on the Lord's side? Right? Am I really on His side? Because there's a big difference between knowing the Lord and being on His side. Right? And there's only two sides. There's God and there's the devil. There's only two sides, so there's not a lot of choices to be made here. And when we see those idea of who, you know, who is on the Lord's side, that implies the possibility that we might be on the wrong side. We might be on the other side of the Lord. And the other side, of course, is that of Satan. And so all men, we need to understand as people of God that everybody has to choose which side we're going to be on. And one thing that we need to be careful of is we can't play both sides. People do that all the time. They try to play both sides. They sit in the middle where nothing really gets done, right? The Lord declared no man can serve two masters. He'll either hate one or love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon also. And he further said, who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Again, there's only two sides. And you notice that the word with, that's such the powerful word here. Whoever's not with me is against me. Now, I want you to think about that word and what that word applies. In the original language, it means to be with one, to be one on one side. That comes from Thayer's definition. So in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you until the end of the age. Same word. That means He's going to be with us on our side. He's going to be together, doing the work with us together. Right? Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. We probably all know that. I know your works, says the angel of the Lord, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because of you are lukewarm, that word lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That is the significance of the difference between for the Lord and with the Lord. We want to make that very clear. We are either with the Lord or for the Lord. And there's a big difference between those two sayings, right? If I say I am for the Lord, that signifies that you know I'm for Him to do what he can do what He wants, and I'm on His side. But the difference between I am with the Lord is that I'm part of His work. I'm a vessel to be used by for His good pleasure. Right? We hear people say I'm for the Lord Jesus, but they don't say I'm with the Lord. And many such statements like that are important. It's the sense of being side by side, working together with God, or just saying, I see it out there, I'm for that, it's a good thing, go for it, whatever, you know, flips your top. And that's not the attitude that we want. We want to be people who are actually involved in the Lord's work, fighting for truth, fighting for righteousness, as we talked this morning. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, you remember the Lord Jesus, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for my name's sake falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. That's a person that's fighting with Christ. They're beside Him in the battle against evil, right? They so persecuted they the prophets, and we want to be like those prophets, like Elijah when he fought the battle against the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18, or like Jeremiah who was imprisoned by King Zedekiah in Jeremiah chapter 37, put in a dungeon and persecuted and belittled because of the things that were written, and tied up with ropes, no water. That was a terrible time. And yet he was with God and God was with him. And that's important. I think sometimes we find ourselves asking, you know, when will people learn that it is not enough to stand aside the battle, but to be involved in the work? It's not merely saying, I am for the Lord, but I am with the Lord in the fight. Some people get it, some people won't. It's like being a prize fighter. You know, and there's somebody out here in the gallery, and they're shouting, I'm with you, Dave. You beat that guy. I'm with you all the way. There's a big difference. I'm for you, rather. I'm for you, Dave. I want you to win this fight, Dave. I'm for you all the way, 100%. I got my money laid down on you. Versus, I'm going to get in the ring and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to fight with you. I'm going to fight beside you, tag team, however you might put that. It's just the same thing as a football stadium full of people saying, I'm for the Browns, versus I'm going to be out there on the field fighting with the Browns. There's a big difference between for and with. And if you're really on the Lord's side, you got to ask yourself that question. Am I with Him or just simply sitting on the sidelines being for Him? You know, it's kind of like this. You got a church and there's people who are really part of the fight. They're pushing and pushing and trying to make things go. They're trying to move that church forward, trying to help that church to get to its destination, which of course is heaven. And properly being with the church, being with Christ, is that kind of an image. And so whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me, do the work, be part of the ministry. And so properly being with Christ. And then you have some people who are kind of in the middle of things, right? That they think they're with Christ, but they're actually along for the ride. You know, I'm a Christian, and I'll show up on Sunday. Don't bother me about Wednesday. Don't bother me about Sunday night. Don't bother me about morning studies or anything else. Don't bother me about evangelism. Don't bother me about teaching. Don't ask me to preach a sermon. Don't ask me to pray. I'm for you, but I'm not with you. That's exactly what they're saying. They want you to do all the work, you to do all the pushing, and they just ride along. They're just along for the ride. And that's really sad, but it's very true. Very true. Who is on the Lord's side? It's the people who are doing the work, who are being people motivated with obedience, motivated to save souls, motivated to teach, motivated to preach, motivated to help other saints along that road to victory. That's who it is. And then of course you have the same opposite where you have people who are fighting against, they're on the other side, they're really, you know, kind of cold towards the church. They don't want to hear solid preaching. They don't want to hear preaching about homosexuality. They don't want to hear preaching about fornication. They don't want to hear preaching about obedience. They just want that whatever tickles the ear kind of thing. And so they end up literally being against Christ. They're not for Christ. They're not for the church. They're fighting literally against the truth. And that kind of person, right? I know your works. You're neither hot or cold. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, Jesus said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Sitting, riding the fence. And so then you have, you know, people are hot, people lukewarm, and people who are cold. We have to ask the question about ourselves. Look in that mirror of the of liberty, that mirror of our soul, the Word of God, and say, am I cold? Am I lukewarm? Am I hot? Am I on the Lord's side? Am I with the Lord in the battle here on this earth? And so that's really important. To be on the Lord's side means that we are being delivered by from the power of Satan into the kingdom of the Son of His love, God, taken away from the kingdom of Satan, right? We're a people who have nothing to do with that. You know, back in 1965, there was a group called the Animals. And they sang a song, we gotta get out of this place if it's the last thing I ever do. We need to have that kind of emotion that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Right? If this is all there is, Lord, what will I do? We need to get out of this place, but the only way to get out of this place is to prepare ourselves to be on the Lord's side, to be working with the Lord in His kingdom here upon the earth. We can't be pew sitters. We can't be perpetual visitors. We need to be alive doing the work of the Lord, being a loyal subject of Christ, a citizen in God's kingdom, not in the kingdom of the devil. Right? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the kingdom of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the power and of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's what Paul said. And that means you're on the Lord's side. That means you're with the Lord in the work. You're moving forward and helping the church. You're moving forward and helping your neighbors. You're moving forward helping yourself to grow. Peter told Christians how they had been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. So who's on the Lord's side? Right? It involves purifying our souls. It involves obeying the truth, obeying the gospel. It involves being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's being with Christ. That's being with God. And those who have not done this are not on the Lord's side. Right? We have not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that comes from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. We have the spirit that comes from God. Right? Jesus, he's praying for his apostles in John chapter 17 and at verse 14. And he's praying for his apostles to his Father. And he says, because they're not of this world, even as I am not of this world. That was specifically for his apostles. And then he switches down in verse 20 and he transfers all that prayer over to us. Not only for these apostles, but for all who will hear and believe through their word. That's being on the Lord's side. And it's a necessity. Doing those things which are commanded by God is what the Lord's people do. If any man will come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I am on the Lord's side. I will be with you in the battle. The church will be with each other together in the battle, in the work, in every aspect of our faith. You know, in Luke 6:46, Jesus said those very uncomfortable words, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I say? That's pretty condemning. And he's speaking to people who claim that they're following, that they're on his side, that they're with him in the battle. If they're not with me, they're against me, Jesus said. And so, you know, Matthew 11 and 28, Jesus instructs us to take his yoke upon us. Where we're performing whatever, walking alongside of him, doing whatever it is he deems necessary. And you note that the bearing of the cross is daily, it's daily, it's daily. And those who think they can play a little bit on the devil's side on the weekdays and switch over to the Lord's side on Sunday, they're just deceiving themselves. It can't happen. The Lord demands that we follow him. We run before him with presumptuous deeds of our own. We're not following him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, the apostle Paul makes that pretty clear when he says, you know, that we want to be a people who don't go beyond what is written. That way we know we're with Christ all the way. And 2 John 9, very clear text. In 2 John 9, if you look there and you see what John has written, pretty clear to me, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. That means if you're not abiding, it means you're not being alongside of the process. So whoever transgresses, which means goes beyond, we don't go beyond what's written, and whoever does not abide, walk alongside, be a part of the word, be a part of the doctrine, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine, who is with the Lord in the work of Christ, both the Father and the Son, that's what you have. So we need to be careful. The question we ask, you know, the song that we sang, who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side is the only proper reply. Master, here am I. Right? What's the answer that we give to that proposal? I am with Jesus in the fight, or I'm just approving of the message. I approve of Christianity. I'm all for it. It's a good thing. It helps people to be good and live good lives. No, that's not it. And there's danger in delaying when you think about that. You know, in Exodus chapter 32, we saw the people, saw Moses coming down from the mountain. The people gathered together with Aaron. And what happened? right? They turned to other gods. That was what you read in verse 1 of chapter 32. You know, let's make other gods that shall go before us. That was something that, because of delayed, Moses delaying coming down, the people getting anxious, not being rooted and grounded in the faith. And so, let's make other gods to go before us. And then in verse 2, you see they misuse the resources. You know, they break off the golden earrings and they give them, take the earrings off the ears of their wives, their sons, their daughters, and they bring them to Aaron. And finally, that leads them to sin. All the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and they brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with engraving, and made that molded calf of gold. And so, when we delay being on the Lord's side, when we kind of set it aside for now, maybe we set it aside Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we get real serious on Sunday. Doesn't work. Because it just leads to, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me, Moses said. Right? Sin itself becomes the new God. Right? This is your God, he said. O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Wow, what God was that? It wasn't that golden calf. It was all the things that God did for them. And they gave the credit to a calf made of gold. And so their life begins to revolve around the new gods. That's what happens when we don't commit ourselves 7 days a week to the Lord, to being a part of His work in the church, to be with Him in the process. So Aaron saw this. He builds an altar, makes a proclamation. Tomorrow there'll be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early and they had burnt offerings and they brought peace offerings and the people sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. Wrong God altogether. Just because of that delay of Moses. But there is good news. We have an intercessor, Jesus Christ, 2 John 9, right? These things I write to you, my children, that you may not sin, but if you have sinned, we have an advocate, an intercessor, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's there on our side as long as we're with Him in the battle, right? So why should the Egyptians speak and say, He brought us out of Egypt to kill us in the mountains and consume us in the earth, to turn your fierce wrath from to harm your people? That's what was said by these people who came out and turned to the wrong God. And of course in verse 32, remember what Moses said, we read that. Blot me out of your book that you've written. Wow. God's gonna blot the sinners out of His book. Not the righteous. Not those who were with Him. Those who are not with Him in the battle. And He didn't forget their sin. There was great wrath of God put upon the people at that time. And so, you know, again, Exodus 32, if we go back there and read just a couple of verses, Exodus 32, I'll get there in a second here, Exodus 32, verse 17. Exodus 32, verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." Verse 19, so it was as soon as he came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot. And he cast the tablets out from his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Think about what's happening. Joshua heard the noise. He thought it was something good. Moses said no. It was not the shout of victory, not the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing. And so think about this. He says, whoever's on the Lord's side, come to me? That's the question. Am I on the Lord's side? Am I with the Lord? Well, when you hear that, what is it that the Lord's hearing? When that question is posed from the Word of God, what is God hearing about me? Right? Is he hearing, when I see, is he hearing I am on the Lord's side, but, I'm on the Lord's side, but my family and friends, they have to come first. I can't make religion my life after all. You know, I have to work, I gotta play, I have to make, I don't want life to be boring. Right? My future depends on how I play the game. Right? But I'm very busy. And I have time for all the church stuff. I don't have time for all that church stuff and let somebody else do it. Or look, the Bible says we are all sinners and so I can sin because Jesus died for my sins and forgives me. No. That's not what God wants to hear when that question is whoever is on the Lord's side come to me is posed. That's not what he wants to hear. Right? Whoever sins against me, I will blot him out of my book, says the Lord. And that would be sin. Right? Christ is the one who died. And more than that, he was raised from the dead, sitting at the right hand of God, Romans 8 and 31. He's making interceding, he's interceding, making intercession for those who are on his side. And so, listen, cold, lukewarm, hot. We all need to examine ourselves. We all need to ask that question and we all need to answer the question. Am I cold? Am I lukewarm? Am I hot? And we need to be hot. It's that simple. Examine yourself, says Paul, as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you are disqualified. Who's on the Lord's side? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Well, I appreciate your listening. I hope there was some encouragement in there to think and look at ourselves and make sure that we're constantly in the right battle, being on the right side, fighting side by side with Jesus. If we're not, we should make repentance tonight. And if we need help being part of the Lord's kingdom, we can help you with that tonight also. Whatever your need may be this evening, please. Do not hesitate. Don't wait till it's everlastingly too late. Come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
Oh, to Jesus.